Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Katie Britton. Many novels have tried to capture the fear and desperation that someone feels when there's a mass shooting, and they also explore why. Because how on earth can we make any sort of sense in such a senseless act of violence? But Marisa Reichardt's novel, Underwater, is different. She doesn't ask why, and she doesn't focus on the act itself. Instead, she looks at the aftermath, the emotional toll that it takes on the young survivors and the people who love them. It's a novel so moving you'll be brought to tears, feel the panic tightening in your chest, and sigh in relief as it passes.
I think for me, I feel like there's so much out there. We so often hear about the tragic event itself, and we don't so much hear about afterwards. And I felt like if I could write about something that happened after, I could find the hope in it. And so that was really my intention.
And Morgan's become a recluse. She dropped out of high school and decided to go online. And she is just too scared to leave her apartment that she lives in with her mother and brother. How was it for you writing a character such as that?
You know what? I spent a lot of time with the shutters drawn and the noise out, and I really kind of shut myself in when I was writing this book. I usually listen to music when I'm writing. I didn't listen to music when I was writing this book. It was really, in some ways it was hard to get through it. There were difficult days to go into that mind space, but, yeah, I did a lot of shutting myself in order to get to that character.
You say there are difficult days for you, and just like Morgan, there are some days that are more difficult for her where she looks at that bottle of emergency pills just in case.
Yeah, I mean, I think difficult in if I knew a difficult scene was coming up or, just getting into that mindset of that character, it sort of overtook me. And there were times where writing it was tough, but always rewarding.
We feel what Morgan's feeling as you're writing her. It's I feel those heart palpitations happening as she's describing it happening, and her thinking that she's dying now. She made it through that, but now she's dying because something else has set her off.
Right. I'm glad to know that that's translating to people and that they're telling me that they're feeling those emotions and that heart poundingness, because it was so important for me to get that on the page. And yeah, I mean, that was definitely something I worked really hard at doing. I did a lot of research. I spoke with a psychologist that works specifically with women and teenagers who, you know, struggle with anxiety and agoraphobia. And I took copious notes and just tried to do everything I could to get into that mind space. So I'm so happy to hear that it's translating on the page in an authentic way for the reader.
And it isn't as if Morgan doesn't want to have her life back. She sees her mother and her younger brother leaving the house, and the little brother is just so sweet. Ben, he's always something. He's either some animal, a bee buzzing around the house, or a plane, and he's making the sounds. And you just see the complete opposite of what Morgan has become. His freedom is, and she's envious of that. And she wants to protect him of her agoraphobia.
I think that it's really Evan is the catalyst for her being able to see the parts of her life that she's let go of a little bit. I think that was what was so important, was to show those parts of Morgan what she used to be before and how luscious her life was and how outdoors she was and an ocean swimmer and a pool swimmer, and she loved the beach and went to parties, and, you know, she really lived life fully. And I think that illustrates more the tragedy of what she's become. And to put that up against Ben, who is, you know, kindergartner, innocent, not really realizing exactly what has happened to Morgan, it just emphasizes more that difference in the way that they're both living their lives.
Right. The first time that Evan knocks on her door and when she opens it, she said he smells like fresh air. He smells like the ocean. He looks like what it is to be alive and mm-hmm. what her life was.
Yes, very much so. And I think just that moment of seeing that so in her face was a jaw-dropping moment for her. It was scary, too, because I think she's so fearful of never finding that again. But I think it was the impetus to really make her look at things.
And really to try to reintegrate into the world.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because even
step by step.
Right, and that's the thing. It isn't, I mean, a lot of people think, well, they can just go outside. They always did it before, but it's never that simple. And you have her psychologist, right. Brenda, who is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And she
Thank
is a
you.
Great character just in how she looks. She's got her burgundy dreads pulled up and short skirts and, you know, motorcycle boots when it rains.
Mm-hmm.
And but the beauty of that is that Morgan sees her as truthful. She's truthful to who she is, and she does and looks how she wants to look.
Right. Yeah. I think it was really important. I worked a lot with my editor on forming the character of Brenda and really trying to get to that place of that person that Morgan would really be able to connect to and trust. And I think we both thought it was really important that she be a little bit alternative, not so buttoned up. And I think that's really what spoke to Morgan about Brenda. It definitely made her trust her.
And Brenda comes to her home because she knows she won't leave. And Morgan's father is no longer in the picture because he had served 5 tours in Afghanistan and is dealing with his own ghosts and his own demons now upon returning with PTSD. So mm-hmm. there's this heartbreaking moment in the book that, I mean, my tears were just filling my eyes where she thinks, oh my God, I'm becoming my father.
Mm-hmm.
And this father has abandoned her and the family, and she's thinking, I don't want to be that person, but I think I'm destined to be that person.
Right. I think that's one of, you know, definitely the thing that Morgan struggles with the most is this version of what she's seen her dad become. And, you know, I played that against what he used to be. So you see him also as this vibrant person in much the way that Morgan was. And so for her to see those similarities as she begins to shut off from the world in sort of the same way, it seemed like a natural place for her mind to go. Unfortunate and sad, but natural and believable.
We briefly spoke about Evan, and Evan's the new boy who moved next door, but he's so much more than just the new next door neighbor because, I mean, he too has his troubles, but the reasons why they came is the same reason why Morgan is a shut-in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, you know, Evan, it was really important for me to write a book that wasn't about, that girl didn't get saved by a boy. She's not saved by love or the cute boy next door. He's not what gets her outside because she likes him so much. It's more what he reminds her of, how he's dealt with the same tragedy, how his family is dealing with it and working through it, and how that's inspiring for her. And so I wanted them to connect, you know, on a deeper level, that it wasn't just like a cute boy moving in next door, but yes, that there was something more specific that they had in common, but very much that it wasn't about her falling in love with him and that's what saved her.
He's so patient with her before she even opens up to him. It was mm-hmm. a massive step just to even open that door when he knocked on the door
yeah.
for her. And then just the fact that she is very slowly letting him into her life and literally into the apartment, that if she says, I need to sit there, or that's my list, that's just something I need, he just accepts it. He says, okay. He doesn't push her and says, well, why not? And, I mean, he knows there's something fragile going on, but mm-hmm. to the extent that she's never said anything flat out at that point in the novel to him, he's a very understanding person.
Yeah, I think what Evan is very intuitive. And I feel like you see that with his mom. You see that when he talks about his aunt. You see that how he behaves with Ben. He just is intuitive and has a good heart and thankfully was the person that moved in next door.
The descriptive way that you write, it makes the reader appreciate all those little things so much more, like feeling the sun on your toes or feeling the dampness of the rain soaking into your jeans when you sit down on a seat that hasn't dried completely. But it's all those little things that make up a wonderful life that we just take for granted every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was important to really highlight those things that Morgan was noticing because, you know, it helped to emphasize everything that she was missing. And I grew up at the beach. I'm a beach girl. It was a really natural thing for me to write about those things, but it also re-sparked my love of those things. It made me appreciate them more. You know, sometimes I'm walking on the beach every day and I forget because it becomes so normal. And so when I had to go into that headspace of like, what would that be if I didn't get to do this anymore? And like, what would I miss about it? What would be the things that I would use to describe the emotion of it? And so I tried to go there a lot, and I appreciate that it spoke to you.
The name of the book is Underwater. Marisa, thank you so much for joining us today. It really is a beautiful novel.
Thank you. I'm so honored. Thank you so much for having me.
Again, the name of Marisa Reichardt's novel is Underwater. It is published by FSG. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
I hope someday you'll join us. One.